All right, welcome back.
Now
We
we
are
have
up to
Riverside
episode
FM.
23 on the Gridiron Pulse, and I am joined by everybody. Gang's all here today. How we doing, boys?
Doing great. We got a full barn today. It's been a while since we've had this. I think since the draft, we've kind of all been in and out, busy with our own stuff, but we got the gang all together, so looking forward to this one.
Pretty good. Can't complain. It's almost Friday. Ready to watch some more sports this weekend.
Speaking of which, happy Juneteenth to all my fellow American people. National holiday today.
Yep.
Cheers,
Shout out.
Cole.
Love the day
Cheers,
off.
boys. Juneteenth. Right, let's dive right into it. Arkansas is apparently cursed in the college baseball space, whether it be the regional supers or the College World Series. Anything that has to do with Arkansas baseball is they're going to be insanely good throughout the entire regular season, and then it's going to be like one or two plays that completely blow their season. I mean, I know both of you guys saw last night that poor left fielder tries to make a heroic diving catch, but it like he just completely missed the ball. Like it was very ugly. And that allowed LSU to score two runs in the bottom of the ninth and ultimately extend the game, tie it up 5-5, and then they obviously go on to win. So I'll be the first one to say I didn't watch the game. I don't like that Georgia's not in it, so I'm boycotting. But what a hilarious way to lose. Back-to-back years. I know they had that pop fly against Oregon State last year in kind of the same scenario. So what do y'all think about the curse of the Arkansas Razorbacks?
So obviously the left field slipping and dropping that ball, which it wasn't even a diving play. He literally, it was a routine line drive, back foot slips, kicks off his foot, which crazy, A, unlucky that he slips, but B, also for him to fall at an angle to where the ball kicks off of his cleat and goes all the way to the wall. Like, let's say he just falls and just knocks the ball down. He's able to get that in and the runs don't score. At least that's what I think it was. I can't remember how many people were on base or whatever. But then also in extra innings, guy hits a line drive. It goes right off of the shortstop's glove, dribbles into the outfield. I mean, it's one thing if you go to Omaha and you just lose because, okay, this team was just better than you. They just outplayed you. But Arkansas, I cannot think of a baseball team that has had this many losses in like heartbreaking fashion as they have. You mentioned the Oregon State one a few years ago when routine pop up, three guys converge on it, it drops down. I mean, and you've got a feel for that left fielder, dude. We were talking about it before we got on here, but I really hope that guy has some people around him that could support him because that is, I don't know what his eligibility is or anything like that, but that is just rough. You feel bad for him, and LSU finds a way, and the Omahawks are done again.
Yeah, that was I really didn't watch much of the game last night, but I saw the play on Twitter. Dude, that's just the most just unbelievably heartbreaking way to lose. Like you said, Cole, a routine line drive, and like somehow it kicks off of his leg and it goes like straight to the wall to the left, and it's awful, man. Like, I would strongly advise him to not go on Twitter because he was getting just absolutely destroyed. Like on Arkansas's like comments after they posted the final score, like all these college baseball Twitter accounts were tweeting about it. Yeah, buddy, just don't go on social media for a few months. You'll love life. It's I can't think of a more just cursed baseball team where it's just fluke stuff and unlucky stuff just happens to them in the way that they lose. It's horrible. I feel so bad for them. I feel so bad for, Arkansas. So, just horrible, horrible way to lose.
Yeah, I would have definitely preferred Arkansas to win that game. Like them a little bit more than LSU, but honestly, just can't. Don't
We're
really
at the
care.
coastal anyway.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Coastal Carolina versus LSU is going to be your College World Series matchup. Is that best of, is it best of three, five, or seven? It's three?
Three.
Dang, okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, three more games left at the most.
But I'm pretty sure. So doesn't Coastal only has to win once because LSU already has a loss. But I think LSU has to beat Coastal twice in order to win the championship because Coastal hasn't lost in the whole World Series. I'm pretty sure that's how it works. I could be completely wrong, but I think that's how it is. I
I
don't
can
know if
only
it's like
we
the
haven't made it
loss
that far in my
reset.
life.
Yeah. I don't know if like the loss is reset and now it's just a straight up best of three, but I'm pretty sure that Coastal only has to beat LSU one time and they win the championship.
When did the game start? Is it tomorrow?
I think.
I'm
Yeah.
trying to pull it up here real quick. Let's see. So we're obviously all going for Coastal. Don't really care too much about the SEC in this. Let's
Coastal
see.
Carolina also has not lost a game since like April. So they are the hottest team in baseball. As we all know, baseball is a momentum sport more so than who the best team is. So, I mean, you would have to think. I'm pretty sure Coastal is obviously going to be the underdog still, but it's going to be hard to like not pick them with how good they're playing right now.
Think they're like
Yeah.
55 and like 16 or just some crazy record.
56 and 11, which is
That is
gosh,
insane.
crazy. LSU's 46 and 15. I don't see anything about the number of games and the number of losses, but Coastal money line is plus 130. LSU is minus 180. So, give me Coastal, hottest team
Amber
in
Coastal.
baseball.
Amber
Yeah,
Coastal.
that's going to be a good series though for sure. It looks like to me it's going to be a best of three series because I feel like if Coastal only had to win one game, they would probably be relatively heavy favorites, I would have to imagine. But that would make sense that the wins and losses reset for the championship series. But it
Yeah.
starts on Saturday at 7 p.m. So yeah, in the dog days of the off season, I will say that I will be tuned in. I won't really have a choice.
Oh yeah, boys. And before we move on here, like that Arkansas heartbreak, I was just trying to think. I'm like, I'm sitting there, and of course, with me wanting football season to come, I'm thinking, what is like the college football equivalent of what Arkansas has done? Like in these. And the big, like, the only thing I can think of was like, for as crazy, like, unlikely as those plays are, was Michigan losing to Michigan State on that fate, on that punt.
Ooh.
But still, at the end of the day, that was a regular season game that had, I mean, it was a rivalry, so it still had meaning, but it didn't have meaning in terms of like a national championship. But Arkansas, that's essentially if Michigan had done that against Michigan State in a playoff game
Yeah.
for people that are like trying to find an equivalent for how like terrible and heartbreaking that is.
Yeah.
I guess say like a equivalent as painful as it is, I guess you could say second and 26, but
See,
not really, but it's equivalent
I would
in
probably push
quotations.
I would push back on that a little bit because that second and 26 was Alabama just being better. They took advantage of a coverage and threw a great ball and made a good catch. Whereas this was just LSU did nothing to like actually earn that. It was just pure luck that the guy slipped.
Kick
You know?
six.
Could be kick six.
Just some fluky stuff. Maybe. Yeah.
Whole second half of Super Bowl, of the Super Bowl.
Oh, no.
No.
Oh gosh,
Let's.
you really had to bring it up.
I'm sorry, I had to. Yeah.
Yeah, Devontae Freeman missing that block. Oh.
Luckiest catch I've ever
Stop.
seen
I gotta ask
in the
you,
world,
boys.
a Julian
So,
Edelman.
now that we're on this topic, not to get too deep into it, at what point during that game did y'all think we're losing this game? For me, it was whenever the Patriots strip sacked Matt Ryan in that territory. I was like, Patriots are
Yeah,
gonna win this
that was when
game.
Devontae Freeman missed the block.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mine was when I saw the luckiest catch I've ever seen in my life,
That
the Julian
Julie,
Edelman
yeah.
catch. It's the luckiest catch I've ever seen in my life.
Whichever one was before the other,
Yeah.
that's yeah. When you stack those kind of plays on top of each other, you just sit there and you look at the TV like,
Hey,
well.
dude, I remember. Well, yeah, it's. I don't want to relive it anymore.
The last thing, that coin toss, that
Rigged.
Patriots winning that coin toss was so, you know, the feeling of nowadays whenever the Chiefs win a coin toss in overtime, you're like, all right, they're going to score. It was that feeling for me times 10. There
Oh,
was
yeah.
zero doubt in anyone's mind that the Patriots were about to go down and score that. Like,
Yeah.
more so than Patrick Mahomes ever has had the feeling of, at least in my
Yep.
opinion. That was crazy.
Even that goal line extension from who is it? Was it James White
James
on the
White.
toss sweep?
Yeah.
Yeah,
People
I thought he
forget
was
Brady
downed.
almost.
But
And then people forget Brady almost threw a pick on the red zone goal line fade. Like a play before. I can't remember who it was that tipped it, but almost snagged it. But yeah.
yeah.
Sorry, I didn't mean to get on this topic.
What a terrible day. 16-year-old me was so mad. That was almost 10 years ago today. Oh my God.
I was forced to go to school after that day and after 2nd and 26, so it was rough.
We
We
yeah.
feel your pain, Arkansas.
We do. We've had it happen to us in many of different ways, but yeah, Arkansas definitely cursed when it comes to the College World Series. What a tough break. Let's get on to a little bit of a lighter, better topic. As you can see, Carter and I, we are supporting because the Braves might be back, dude. Are we back? As I say for the 700th time this season to my team that's 6 games below 500, are we back? But we're only 5.5 games out of the NL wild card race right now. In the midst of a nice little win streak. We took 2 out of 3 from Colorado. We won 2 in a row against the Mets. Got another one coming up today. And we got the Marlins this weekend. So, could
Hey,
be there.
all I'm gonna say is we need to stop sleeping on Colorado because they might be the best home run hitting team in the league right now. They had 7 home runs a day ago, and I think they had another 3 last night. They're hot. Okay. I know I said sell the team and all, but maybe I was a little premature.
Rockies are hot. I saw what their new interim manager says. He was like, "Don't let us get hot." Like, dude, your record is 14-56 or something like that. He was like, "Let us get hot."
No.
The
And
ball's
also,
on you, guy.
what'd you say?
That's hilarious.
I said the ball's on that guy, the manager. He should sit up there on the podium with a straight face. Don't let us get hot.
You can always count on, I will say too, you can always count on the Mets to make us feel a little better and maybe get us a little kickstart. Because, I mean, when Juan Soto looks up at the ball, he's like, what? Like, you didn't call him out. Like, what's going
Oh.
on? And then, boom, throw him out at first and then getting back-to-back dubs. Season sweep. Love it.
When we see
Gotta
a
love it.
sweep tonight, that would be beautiful. Yeah.
I wanted to share a cool, just a dominant stat that I just saw on Twitter. So Chris Sale in his last 8 starts, 54 innings, 6 earned runs, which is a 1 ERA, and then 68 strikeouts. That is just pure just dominance. I really hope that, when Brandon Nimmo went to bed last night, I hope that both sides of his pillow were hot like lava, because that is the most bush league hit I've ever seen, man. Feelings aside, I get why Snit took him out, just because his pitch count was insanely high and they're gonna need him for the next game, but come on, man. You're down 5-0. Just strike out in the game.
Yeah, it was the most Brandon Nimmo-esque hit too. I mean, just a blooper, like the definition of a blooper over Austin Riley's head and below the left fielder. It was so lame. Like, it was a great pitch too by Sale. I mean, it was like he had like 120 pitches last night, like you said, or something crazy like that. Would have loved to see him go the complete game, but that Superman layout diving catch
Play of the
and
night, dude. Play
yeah,
of the
that was
night. That was
crazy.
insane.
37-year-old superstar pitcher. Dude is going to be a surefire Hall of Famer. One of the best games I've ever seen him pitch last night. And the good news is the next team he's slated to face, the Mets next
The
week.
Mets.
So, hope you're ready to learn more Chris Sale, buddy.
And throwback to when we made that trade, and I was like, dude, why are we giving up Vaughn Grissom for a washed pitcher? Shows what I
Oh man.
Shout
Vaughn
out the Red
Grissom
Sox.
still, he was in the infamous parlay for me and Carter. What a great day that was. Vaughn
If
Grissom was,
I
yeah, that was in his hot streak. Like, bro was red hot.
if I was a Red Sox fan, I probably wouldn't go on Twitter last night just after all the news that they've been through with Rafael Devers, and then the Red Sox doing another stupid trade last year for giving us a Cy Young winner in Chris Sale. They just need to log off socials for a while.
I
Don't
mean,
even go on Twitter.
he's very well in line to at least be in the running for another Cy Young this year. I wouldn't put it past him. I mean, if he continues on this trajectory, it's gonna be tough to beat, man. It's gonna be tough to beat. Speaking of red hot, dude, Ronald Acuna Jr. I mean, just led off the entire game yesterday. First pitch of the game, just an absolute moon rocket, 419 feet to dead center. Just ambushed the pitcher, led us to take an early 3-0 lead, and then we later stretched that lead to 5-0. And fortunately, never looked back because of the dominant performance by Chris Sale. It was a little bit scary calling in Iglesias to get the final out. Didn't love that, but he was able to do it pretty easily. I still believe that he's a good pitcher for sure. He's definitely not to the performance level that he was at last year, because he was straight up dominant last year. But I think he's been a good acquisition for us for the most part. Granted, I do need him to turn it around big time for the rest of the year this year.
Acuña's been like just insanely locked in at the plate ever since he came back. He's like, I'm looking at his stats right now, and it's unbelievable what he's doing after coming off of another ACL injury. Batting 390, 8 homers, 14 RBIs, and has over a 1200 OPS. And he basically has a 2 WAR right now. It's crazy, man. I mean, if he keeps up this pace in all throughout the year, I mean, who's to say he couldn't be in the running for MVP if he keeps up the stat line? He should be an all-star,
He
which I th
absolutely will be an all-star.
yeah, should be an all-star.
He was like fourth in voting or something like that for outfielders already. So
Yeah,
he's got to overtake a couple more
should be a
people.
starter.
Yeah, he's
Yeah.
gonna. I think he's gonna be an all-star, and he will start. So will Chris Sale. I don't know if he'll start the game, but he should be an all-star. You can make a good argument for Schwellenbach as well.
And then I saw yesterday that Drake Baldwin is is now the leading candidate to be NL Rookie of the Year as of right now. So
Yeah, got him down
kind
for it.
of
yeah.
Also, Matt Olson is seemingly exactly in line to be right where he's been his whole career. He's batting 251 and he has 15 home runs. So that probably will put him at about 252 with 32 home runs to end the season. So he's seemed to turn it around pretty good, and it's what we need out of
I
him.
wouldn't be surprised if he's an all-star either.
He has a 3 WAR right now. Almost a 3 WAR.
Yeah. I hope either him, Ozuna, or Acuña do the home run derby. Be pretty cool to watch.
Yeah, I like that too. A little preview of tonight's matchup. We have Spencer Strider on the bump versus Clay Holmes. Clay Holmes boasting a 2.87 ERA and 7-3 record. But he plays on the Mets. So anything can happen. I saw a stat last night. It was like the Mets have been the Braves' get right team for the past like 5 years. And we have so many more wins over them, and we're averaging like 6 or 7 runs a game. But it's just a great series that we needed at a great time, and we get it again next week, and we need to do the exact same thing next week after hopefully sweeping them and sweeping the Marlins, and we'll be right up there for that NL wild card race.
Don't let the boys get hot. Don't let them
Don't
get
let them
hot.
get hot.
If we could get to 500 or above by the All-Star break, I will feel very good going into the second half.
Me
That should be
too.
our.
Yeah. We're 6 games. We're 33 and 39 right now. So, I mean, we could do that. We could do it relatively quickly too. I like what I've seen from Strider the last 2 starts. Fastball velocity has gone way up in his last start. He's averaging, or not necessarily averaging, but able to hit that 96, 97, 98 number like we have known him for in the past. And if he continues to compound on that, I mean, it's just going to keep going up, isn't it? You would
Yeah, I
think.
think. Oh, sorry, Cole, what'd you say?
Oh, no, I just said you would think it would go up.
Yeah, I think mainly for Strider, it was mainly just getting more innings in. Because, I mean, when he first started off, that fastball velo was really low. When I saw, I really wasn't that concerned. I mean, it's more of just in-game reps, you know, just like how, like the whole conversation with, you know, rookies playing in preseason, they need those game reps. I think it's the same thing with Strider. He just needed those game reps because, I mean, obviously it's a whole different than doing like a soft tossing or a bullpen than an actual game. So he'll be fine. Hopefully the Braves win tonight. I think they should. Not a huge believer in Clay Holmes, even though he somehow has almost a sub-3 ERA when he was terrible with the Yankees last year. So hope we get the sweep.
Yeah, going ahead and preview this weekend series we have with the Marlins. We got Elder thrown against some guy with the last name Junk, Jansen Junk. I bet you he throws a bunch of junk, dude.
The name of all time.
Right. I mean, he's got a 2.7 ERA. We got Elder going against him tomorrow. Grant Holmes on Saturday against Eury Pérez. And then Sunday, we got Schwellenbach versus Alcantara. And then Monday, we start against the Mets again. And it'll be Chris Sale versus Paul Blackburn. Isn't that the exact same matchup that we had last night? Nice. Let's do that again. That went really well. I like
It's a
that.
four game set in New York against the Mets rather than a three. So that's even going to be a bigger series.
Yeah. That'll be huge. So say we win today, and then we sweep the Marlins. We will be 37 and 39, just right there. And that's a far cry though, because we haven't swept someone since we swept the Twins, I believe, in early to mid-April. So it's been a minute, but we've been taking 2 out of 3. I would be fine with 2 out of 3. I would like a sweep more, for sure. But that series this weekend is at Miami, and then we are at the Mets, like we said. And then are we home or away against the Phillies?
Home.
Nice. All right. Well, that's pretty much laid out. We got a couple more series after that, then we're right there at the All-Star break. That's
Yeah,
probably
I
it.
mean,
Anybody else?
no, yeah, I mean, when you lay out the schedule like that, it really is right in line with what I said. Just get the 500 or above by the All-Star break, and with the way that we've been playing. And just with the schedule and how it lays out, I think that's definitely doable. So let's go get them.
I will say after we play the Phillies, the next few like the next four series to end the first half, it's easy, but I mean it's baseball, but it's three against the Angels, three against the Orioles, three at the Athletics, and then three at St. Louis. So I guess you could, like I said, I guess you could say it's a easier stretch, but then again, it's baseball. I mean, anything could happen, but it's cool to see, like, after this big gauntlet of playing the division, the schedule lightens up a little bit. So we shall see.
Yeah, I do like having all these division games right at the time where we're supposedly starting to put some wood on the ball. It's nice. Scoring some runs right at the right time as we got the big division stretch. But then, yeah, like you said, take a couple more of those series afterwards and shoot, we could be several games above 500 going into the All-Star break. That would be chef's kiss after a incredibly horrid start to a season, like worse than what we've seen in a very long time. All right, let's talk NBA Finals. We got game six tonight. Potential, it's in Pacers,
Indy.
Indiana.
Indy.
And there's a good chance, it's like a 50-50 chance whether or not Halliburton's playing. So he's got a right calf strain in the last game after putting up an all-time stinker, even though he was hurt. I mean, he played 32 minutes, scored 4 points, all free throws, all in garbage time. I mean, I turned the game off with like 3 or 4 minutes left in the fourth quarter and he had 0 points. I was like, okay, well, this has been a game of basketball. Still, without him, they only lost by 11, 120 to 109. Pascal Siakam was able to kind of shoulder the load for most of the team. He had 28 and shot the ball really well. But yeah, Halliburton had 4 points, 7 rebounds, 6 assists in 34 minutes played. So yeah, it was definitely not the best game for him, although TJ McConnell was able to step in and bop the wood. Just 18 points, 4 points, or 4 rebounds, 4 assists off the bench, played a solid 21 minutes. He's like the last person you want to see in a Lifetime Fitness. If you come across a TJ McConnell archetype, just know you are going to get mid-ranged to death.
And picked up full court when you just
Full
got off
court.
of your shift.
Scrappy, if you're working a 9 to 5, just changed into your basketball shoes in the locker room. You got someone in a full TJ McConnell kit out there, just bopping the wood, picking you up at full court, and hitting 22 mid-rangers in your face.
It makes no sense how TJ McConnell's go-to shot's a mid-range jump shot when he's a short white guy. Like, that'll just never make sense to me. But I mean, because his release is like all the way up here. So like he makes it work, but it's just like I remember watching him in college. Where did he get? Was he gosh. Was he Ohio
Arizona.
State, maybe?
Yeah, Arizona.
Arizona.
Arizona, that's what it was. Oh, I was thinking of Aaron Kraft from Ohio State. That's a pull right there.
What a
Shout out.
disgusting
Shout out
pull.
Aaron Kraft.
That's a pull right there. They look very similar too in like play style. So yeah.
Yeah, the thing about TJ McConnell is he is no taller than anybody on this call right here. He is listed at 6'1", 190 pounds. I mean, like you said, Cole, release that thing all the way up
Hey.
in amongst the trees. Yeah, they're going to need a big game from him, regardless of whether or not Halliburton's playing or not. Because if he is playing, he's going to be at like 70% at the most.
I don't really have any doubt that he's not going to play. I mean, if this was a regular season game, then yeah, I'm sure you would get the night off, but it's NBA Finals game, elimination game. I would imagine he'd be out there, but man, I'm still drinking the Pacers tea, so I'm still gonna say the Pacers are still winning this series, even though you guys don't agree with me at all. I'm still doing it. I'm still doing it. Give me the Pacers in seven. Still like the Pacers, even though they're pretty much dead right now.
Hey, way to stick with your pick, though. I like it. It's a
I
gut
guess
feeling.
the saving grace is okay. Let's say Halliburton is playing at 70%. It's been proven that he doesn't necessarily need to score 30 for the Pacers to win. If he could just be a facilitator and get his usual 8 to 10 assists and just kind of be out there running the offense and, score a bucket here and there, I mean, at home elimination game desperation, I could definitely see them pulling it off, but you're still going to have to go to OKC for game seven. And it's proven that that place is very tough to play. And they, I don't know, like I could maybe see them winning tonight, but if it goes to seven, I don't see them getting it done in OKC. So I definitely want the Pacers to win tonight so we can get a game seven. That would be awesome. But I'm going to stick with Thunder winning this one. Just go ahead and predict them to win tonight and go ahead and clinch the NBA Finals.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you on that, although I do want the Pacers to win so that my secondary pick, which was OKC in seven, as opposed to OKC in five, would hit. But whatever it may be, I just hope there's a game seven so we can have more things to talk about and more sports in general, especially championship level sports. You guys watch any hockey?
I didn't. I
I followed it.
watched the
Yeah, but
I watched the last game of the Stanley Cup, and I'm not normally one to root for Canada teams, but I like Connor McDavid. I like Leon Draisaitl for the Oilers, so I kind of feel
hold that. Hold that for me.
yeah, I don't know. I feel bad for them just because I mean I think they're great players surrounded by mid on the Oilers. Their goalie is atrocious, Skinner. He was just awful in the Stanley Cup final against Panthers. Panthers are insane, man. I mean, obviously they're the best team in the league because they just won the Stanley Cup, but their whole entire team is just crazy good. It's always funny seeing like the Northerners who are like, oh, Miami doesn't care about hockey. Like they won't care about this in a week. So I just think it's, I just think it was hilarious. Even though I was rooting for Edmonton because I want to see Connor McDavid win a ring. But I mean, I'm not mad that 4-1. They're clear and obvious the better team. They've been the better team past 2 years. So shout out Florida Panthers.
it'll never make sense to me how the Florida Panthers are good at hockey and
And
like the
Tampa.
Tampa Bay Lightning are good, like have been good, you know? Like I don't know, but hold that L, Canada, or
Yeah, for
L,
real.
Canada.
Yeah. Hold that fat L, Connor McDavid. Put it in your mouth.
Oh.
5-1 was the final score. Like Carter said, their goalie clearly sucks. I have no idea who he is or if he's actually any good, but doesn't seem like it because every time Florida Panthers have won a game, they've scored at least 4 or 5 goals. I mean, they took the series 4-2. They were favorites coming in. The favorites go ahead and take it home. I mean, that's pretty much all I have. I remember this guy's name, Tkachuk, or however the heck you say it.
Matthew
From
Tkachuk.
from that.
The only player
Yeah.
on the Florida Panthers I know, his last name's Barkov, and I remember seeing it, and I'm like, this guy sounds like a Call of Duty villain. I'm pretty sure he's like a defender or something on a team. I'm like, shout out to Barkov.
Shout out to Barkov, you Call of Duty villain.
If Atlanta ever gets awarded with a third team, I know people are gonna clown me for this because I know this is not how expansion draft works, but they should convince, depending if McDavid still stays with the Oilers, that they should convince the Oilers to let us draft McDavid. Even though I know that's not how it happens, but
Yeah, I
a
want
man
Sidney
could dream.
Crosby too.
Yeah,
I
you know
want
what? Let's get
Ovechkin.
Ovechkin in there too. Why don't we?
Yeah. Twilight of their careers. I mean, yeah, if we can
Hey,
just ask him.
if the Vegas Knights could go to the Stanley Cup in the first year of their expansion, why can't the Atlanta, whatever we're going to be called?
Thrashers, dude.
We're going to be
Thrashers
the
has to be
Thrashers again?
Thrashers. If it's not the Thrashers, they can just go ahead and throw away the Gathering. Don't even build it.
Atlanta Hockey Club. That would be
Nah.
terrible.
It's gonna. I hope. I really hope that they restore the Thrasher's name. I really hope it's not some stupid ass name. So I hope it's the Thrasher's, man. It'd be so cool.
So, Carter, you seem to be a bit knowledgeable on the hockey, more so than me. So, for me to understand the Stanley Cup Finals, what is a NFL equivalent of the Florida Panthers against the Oilers? If you had to best think about it, I don't mean to put you on the spot here, but for our people that aren't hockey, what would be an NFL equivalent of this?
So I mean the most obvious answer for like the Florida Panthers, because they just won back-to-back titles, is the Chiefs. And then
Got
the
to think. Well,
Oilers. So I mean I mean I could say the Bills, but that would be impossible, because it was the same finals matchup 2 years in a row. So I'm trying to think of like an NFC team. Can't really say the Eagles because they just beat the Chiefs.
yeah, and I'm trying to think of the dynamic of the Oilers. You said they really have only two good players, and the rest is kind of mid. So an NFL team in the NFC where it's they have like a couple good players, and the rest are terrible.
Could be like Rams Bengals when that Super Bowl happened.
It could be the Bengals. Oh, well,
Like the
that's still
Vikings.
impossible because AFC team.
Yeah. Maybe like a
I mean.
Vikings. McDavid is Justin Jefferson, and they just don't have a
And
quarterback. They don't have a goalie. I don't, maybe.
like that.
can't really say like Detroit because they have a lot of good players.
They
Like I
haven't
don't
won
know,
anything.
it's tough. I guess you could say Green Bay, because I mean Jordan Love is decent, but he's not better. He's not the equivalent of Connor McDavid. Connor McDavid's basically like the Mahomes of the NHL, so well, except he doesn't win,
Without
but
winning. Really the Josh Allen of the NHL, then, if you think about
yeah, so he is the Josh Allen of the NHL. Good point.
So I think we've come to the conclusion where it would be like Eagles Bills. If you had to pick an NFC and AFC,
Yeah.
I'd go the Chiefs Vikings low key, but that's just me.
Yeah. I don't know. It's hard to pick like a NFC equivalent of the Oilers. I mean AFC's obvious. It's the Chiefs 'cause they've won, but yeah, I mean if you want to go like hypotheticals, I mean you could say that the Oilers are the Buffalo Bills of the NHL. But in terms of like a Super Bowl, obviously that doesn't make sense. So it's hard to pick an NFC equivalent for the Oilers unless I'm just drawing like a huge blank right now and I just can't think of anyone.
Soon to be the Steelers and the Aaron Rodgers, but we're going to be the Panthers more so in this situation.
1 year. That's all you get.
Go.
It's time to learn Will
The Last
Howard.
Dance, NFL edition, future documentary. Let's go.
Oh, God.
And then it's Will Howard's team.
Have y'all watched the Aaron Rodgers documentary on Netflix?
I refuse to watch it.
Don't have Netflix.
I will be watching it. I'll be kicking my feet. I've seen him. Tell me your ways, King.
Tell me about how the darkness
Audio.
clears your mind.
Just tell me how the Bluetooth headphones mess with your brain waves.
Ooh. Yeah, I use those quite a bit.
Tell me why your family is in the wrong and they don't like you just because they don't understand you.
No, supposedly he's a newly married man. I don't know if you guys saw that interview.
Yeah, there's some
He
weird
wasn't
stuff.
married, he was matrimonized.
He eloped, okay?
Eloped.
He eloped. All right? Some people are more low key and they don't want the big ceremony, okay? You guys wouldn't understand, so don't you throw rocks at a glass house. Or rocks in your glass house. All right? Let the man live. Ridiculous.
Are we done here? Can we move on?
What?
Can we move on?
Sure. Gosh, I'm tired of you guys.
Oh my
My
God.
quarterback.
He was matrimonized, not married. So Shedeur
That's
Sanders was
hilarious.
caught drag racing from the facility yesterday.
Hey, he's a hard worker, man. He's the first one in the facility every single day. Okay?
He doesn't leave his house the first. He doesn't wake up the earliest, but he'll drive the fastest to get there. Bro was caught going 101 sighted at like 4 o'clock in the morning the other day or something like that. We have plenty of jokes about this. You want to say the one that you said right before we got on?
Me?
Yeah, about him going 101.
Oh, yes. So, I can't take credit for this joke because it's a very good one, but it was a tweet. I don't know who tweeted it, so shout out to you, whoever did. Saw a tweet, I was scrolling Twitter and see a guy who says, "Man, this Shador speeding thing is nothing. He went 145 when he was supposed to go 25 just a month ago." Which is, at first, I was like, "He went 150 miles an hour. What's going on?" But then the more I read it, I'm like, oh, elite
Pick
joke.
145.
Elite joke.
And of course you go on any, SCC Twitter account, they're all tweeting like, oh, like did he visit UGA's campus? And then you saw all those pictures, which I still refuse to believe that he took a visit to Georgia. So yeah, so of course you're gonna get those from, the Tennessee fans, 'cause, that's the only thing that they can talk about right now.
Yeah, despite popular belief, those were not edits. Those were visit photos, which is just crazy to me. Yeah, there's
And also notice football fans making jokes about that, how Shador Sanders was cited for the ticket, but not arrested.
If it was a Georgia player, he would have been arrested, ball gagged, thrown on the concrete, and put in jail immediately.
Exactly.
And kicked off the team by Kirby. But
Damn,
because
Athens
Kirby
Clark
doesn't
County
do
Police.
anything.
Athens Clark County Police, take notes. Take notes. You don't have to try and kill someone for speeding. I mean, good Lord. That's just
Here's your $5 fine and then like an hour in jail. Take it or leave it.
like, yeah, 20, what was the last one that we had was $27 in a fine.
And it
And
made ESPN national news.
yep.
What is going on in Athens, Georgia?
And
What's
then
going
the
on in
Shador thing was
Cairo,
buried
Georgia?
for like 2 days. Nobody knew about it until yesterday, and it happened like 2 days prior.
Yeah. Funny.
Yeah, but hey, there seems to be a lot of chaos going on around the AFC North, of course. We got Shador Sanders with the speeding thing, which in all reality, it's going to blow over in a week. A young guy was speeding. All right, cool. But I don't know. I feel like I heard that the Bengals are kind of working things out with Trey Hendrickson, or at least they're talking now,
Yeah.
which they kind of have to because it doesn't seem like they're going to get anywhere with Shamar Stewart. So I would not, I mean, we might see the first time in a while Shamar Stewart just doesn't sign and goes into the draft next year, which would
Would
be
that be the
incredible.
first time ever? I've never heard of that before.
I don't know. I mean, if Eli didn't get traded to the Giants, then we probably would have seen that with that whole Chargers
Yeah.
situation. But yeah, dude, I don't know. We might have to do some research on that.
They're either gonna Eli him or he might have to go in the draft again next year, which would just be hilarious. Like,
So
I'm rooting
yes,
for that.
this has actually happened before, where a rookie was drafted and didn't sign his contract. So it hasn't happened in a while, but the big example that I see is Bo Jackson, who refused to sign with the Buccaneers after going first overall in 1986, and instead played baseball.
Oh, and John Elway also did it.
That's all right, yeah.
I believe he was drafted. Hold on, let me look at this. He was drafted by the Baltimore Colts in 1983, but refused to play. He threatened to quit football and switch to the MLB, and then they traded him to the Broncos. So yeah.
Interesting. Well, Shamar Stewart doesn't have the baseball background, I wouldn't think, being a 6'5" defensive end. But yeah, those are two interesting examples for sure.
Yeah, let's see if anything else. Yeah, so it seems like it hasn't happened at least to a first round pick since 1986. It looks like Bo Jackson might have been the last one to do that. So crazy.
But again, with the baseball background, like Shamar Stewart's just gonna have to take a year off.
Just
Like
trade.
I don't know if I would do that.
Because
He probably wouldn't be a first round pick. I wouldn't think his draft stock would probably tank through the roof.
yeah. Because again, it'd be one thing if he was this can't miss guy, like if Will Anderson did this or something, you
Right.
know, he'd get drafted again in the first round next year. Shamar Stewart is pure projectability, like we said in our draft previews and stuff. So you give NFL GMs a year of that not being in your mind, and they're already looking at their board for the next year. And you know, you're looking at a guy at that point that's had 4.5 sacks in 4 years in college and hasn't played football in a year. I mean, it's, I don't know. So it's kind of a, it's really a lose-lose for both in this situation if this were to go down the way that it is. So yeah, we'll see
I
how it
think
plays out.
the most likely outcome is he's ultimately going to end up signing the deal. They're probably going to change whatever they need to change, and he's going to sign the deal. But if that doesn't happen, you would have to think it, they would go the trade route, right? I mean, because
Yeah.
Shamar Stewart would probably, at least his agent would probably force a trade somehow, and the Bengals would obviously want to get something in return for their first round pick. It probably. I mean, it definitely wouldn't be a first round pick next year, but he could probably get like a second or a third, maybe a couple late round picks for him as well. You just have to think that's going to happen. I just think it's super, super unlikely that they're going to force each other to basically like take a year off of football and then re-enter the draft. It's not likely.
All I'll say is that the Falcons dodged a major bullet because this is who I thought that the Falcons were going to draft instead of Jalen Walker and James Pierce. So I'm so grateful that Carolina and New Orleans both screwed up.
Yeah, thank you. All right. Well, that's all we got for football talk, but we can talk about some virtual football since we have all three of us here today. College Football 26, we are less than a month away. I think, what is it, 20 days if it's July 9th?
I think it's July 10th it comes out, but the
July 10th?
deadline to pre-order is tomorrow. So if you want it 3 days early, which I think I might do, I'm gonna get a head start on you boys, so you better watch out.
July 7th is the early access release, and then worldwide is July 10th.
Nice. Yeah,
We got
that's
a few
gonna
more
be.
weeks.
Shoot, I need to pre-order.
Yep. No, but as we said, we're gonna have an online dynasty. Of course, us three, and then we have a few other people that we're adding into it. And we're definitely going to have some type of content centered around it. Again, we're still gonna figure that out in terms of, you know, videos we release when it comes to gameplay and stuff like that, and updates, this, that, and the other. And again, we're gonna see how it performs and if the people actually care about it. But that's kind of what we're envisioning, and we're kind of seeing at which conference we want to enter, because we all want to be relatively the same caliber of team,
Yeah.
and whatnot. So I think we've kind of, at least for me, I think somewhere in the Big 12, I think the Big 12 is probably the best option to go, because A, you still have, like, I mean, a Power
This
Five
is where
school.
we have differing opinions here.
All right. Well, I'm going to give my pitch for the Big 12. You can give your pitch for whatever mid-major Power Five D2 conference you want. All right. Hear me out. All right. We do the Big 12. Every team by proxy already is pretty equal in terms of ratings. Of course, you have your outliers, but pretty much every team is already equal in that sense. We're going to be in the middle of the country, closer to Texas. Recruiting is going to be a lot easier for the people. Now, I don't need help with it because I know I'm going to recruit good, but you know, maybe some people in our
We
dynasty
don't
need.
need help with recruiting either, bucko.
And I didn't say it was you, all right? I didn't say it was you. B, when we play at bigger schools, like the environments at these are going to be way better. We're playing in these big stadiums, and the home field advantage is actually going to matter. And we're not playing in Kennesaw State's arena. No offense to Kennesaw State. But those are my main three things. The recruiting is going to be better because we're going to have better proximity to talent. The conference already has equal talent dispersion in terms of the team and ratings. And B, it's a power four football where the environments are just going to be way better and we can actually win conference championships that mean something. So, yeah.
My main argument is that's not a rebuild.
But that's the thing. Are we doing rebuild or are we just taking over teams and trying to, like... But you're telling me Baylor isn't a rebuild?
No, I did them last year and it was so easy.
Because you're playing on freshman.
Four natties in a row.
Jacked up. Because you're playing on freshman difficulty with the sliders jacked up, probably.
No, it was an online dynasty with Vance and Henry. And it was so easy and it was relatively boring. And you, of all people, you also know that the hotbed for talent is in the SEC. It's in the southeastern region of the United States, which is where the majority of Group of Five schools are.
All right. This is how it's going to go. I made my pitch. Carter, you heard my pitch. Now Jacob's going to give his pitch, and at the end of it, you're going to give your opinion on which one you believe. You're going to be the judge of this and get the verdict, okay?
What you don't know is he's already on my side. So,
I personally like the Sun Belt.
All right.
There we go. That's like the worst of the worst. I wasn't even going to take us down that bad. I was going to say the AAC, the American Athletic Conference. I also like smaller since we don't have like 10 or 12 people that are going to do this. We're going to have like 6 or 7 at the most. We would have the conference games would be like all against each other and we wouldn't have to play like 2 or 3 not like conference opponents that aren't actually real people. And I don't even know how like the Big 12 rotates their schedule cuz there ain't 12 teams in the Big 12. I know that. There's like 16 or 18 or however many it is, but the smaller conferences, like I'm thinking like AAC or I like the Sun Belt too, but that might be a little bit too extreme. But
you know what? The more I think about it, the more I like the smaller conferences too. All right, you've convinced me.
The MAC, we could all be in like Northeast Ohio at the same time.
That's true. Yeah.
In state.
Yeah.
Because even out west, the Mountain West, we could just essentially rebuild the Pac-12. We could all be Mountain West schools.
That'd be pretty sick.
Wait, hold on.
Cook there.
The series is going to be like rebuilding the Pac-12. Or like
we can make our own custom conferences and we can just put all the MAC schools in the Pac-12 as well.
And we're going to make the Pac-12 the Pac-10. We're going to make the Pac-10 conference the best conference in football. So then at that point, it's not only a like individual rebuild of who can be the best. It's a group rebuild of like, hey, buddy, you have to pull your weight because you're pulling down this Pac-10. Okay? How are we supposed to compete with the Big Ten and the SEC if you're slacking over here? I like this.
Vance is going to be the one slacking big time.
No, I actually love that idea, but if we end up doing something else, I'd be down for the AAC. Pretty cool.
Yeah, they're all kind of in that one area. We could low-key do the ACC too, since they're basically a Group of Five conference. They're so bad. Just kick Clemson out of the ACC, and then it's like nothing's left. Kick out Clemson and Miami. Kick out Bill Belichick and take over North Carolina. Oh, sorry, Jordan.
SMU.
Yeah.
SMU, because they made the playoff last year.
Yeah. I like the Mountain West.
Stanford.
We're going to take if we through. Did. Yeah, what? Yeah.
Air Force.
If we did do the Pac-10, then, like, definitely Cal and Stanford are going back in that conference. Like, if we're rebuilding the Pac-12. And then we can make, maybe we recruit like a Boise State into there or something like
USC
that.
USC is not in, like, we're going to keep all the big programs out. USC's not in, UCLA's not in, Oregon's not in, Washington's not in. We'll keep Washington State.
Oregon State.
UNLV.
We'll do it by ratings. Like, we'll take like the 10 most similarly rated teams and we'll put it in there. Boise State.
It's like
Idaho. Is Idaho going to be Idaho's going to be in the game?
Idaho's not D1.
They're an FCS team.
Or yeah, they're
I thought
FCS.
They moved back up.
Mm-mm. They moved down.
You know who's not going to be in? Is Akron.
That's
I don't
right.
think they're going to be in. They moved down.
What?
They moved down to FCS because there's like a school requirement, like a grades requirement for
not
you to
Streamer
be.
University.
Dude, they basically turned into Streamer University. It was like their average GPA fell below like a 1.8 or something like that. Like they did not meet the academic requirements to be in the FBS.
Okay, I remember this now because I remember like a college football CFB25 account posted, wow, so they really weren't lying about this academic prestige thing. And for Akron, it was like a D minus or something.
Yeah, that happened like a couple months ago.
There's two new teams that'll be in the game next this year. It's Delaware and then Montana State or something.
Ooh.
I thought it was SEMO. Southeast Missouri State. Or Southeast Missouri, SEMO.
I think that's who it is. I think I'm getting confused by my logos.
And Delaware. I know it's Delaware.
Blue
is the
Hens.
Other one.
The fight.
Blue Hens.
Shout out what? Joe Flacco.
Yeah, true. What conference are they going to be in?
I would imagine probably Conference USA with Kennesaw.
Yeah.
Or would they be in like the... Like what conference is like UMass in? Or are they in...
They're independent.
Okay.
So they could be an independent. They're going to start a new conference with UMass and themselves only and just play 10 times a year.
Best of 10 series.
Winner makes it to the college football playoff because we're handing out bids to everyone now.
This is a good transition, actually, because this wasn't on our topic, but the college football playoff now, there's some more debate about the qualifying system. It seemed like the Big Ten SEC were in agreement, but now they are quote unquote restarting the talks or whatever. I'd be lying to you if I said I like really understood like what they meant by 4+11 system or 5+ this, that, and the other. So yeah, 16 teams to me is way too much, but I mean it's a moot point arguing it because it looks like that's what we're going to anyway.
Money. That's like the whole reason why they're expanding to 16. I think 12's fine.
Yeah, I do too. Ultimately, I think the Big Ten and the SEC are going to end up breaking away and either creating one super conference or like a super league of college football. And it's going to be like AAA in MLB terms, which is, I don't necessarily know how that's going to work, but I think they're eventually going to break away with each other.
I mean, I wonder what, like, if this, like, House versus NCAA rev share model coming in as, like, alleviates that at all. Like, again, I don't know, like, how that would, or I'd be lying if I said I understood it completely, but I wonder if that's kind of, I don't know, because that's the last thing. While I do believe SEC and Big Ten are obviously the best two in football, I still believe there's a spot for the Big 12 and the ACC and all these other conferences, but I don't know. But I do know that the SEC and Big Ten have talked about like scheduling crossover games more often, which so with the playoff expanding, obviously the regular season losses mean less, but I think at least a positive is that teams are going to be more apropos to schedule high leverage out of conference games because they know one loss isn't going to kill them. So, you know, maybe we see more of like this Texas, Ohio State, you know, Baylor, Auburns, Penn State, Auburns, you know, those that we love to see. So hopefully we get more of that.
I'm all for that. Scheduling better non-conference than Marshall or like Austin Peay. Like, no offense to those schools, but I want to see Georgia play Ohio State or like Penn State. Hell, even like Minnesota, some terrible Big Ten team, like just someone else besides like a Sun Belt school or like an FCS school.
Right now, I think we got it right though, because wins don't matter, but losses do. They don't look at the win column; they only look at the loss column.
Yeah, I'm trying to think this past year with the 12 team.
I mean, like there's still a debate that, Alabama should have been in when they shouldn't have been. So I mean, there's like you could have more discourse about that just based off of record and who you lost to.
Also, this essentially guarantees Notre Dame's a playoff team every single year. Because they've only finished outside the top 16, I believe, twice in the past decade. So yeah, especially with their non-conference independent status, they pretty much are guaranteed a spot in every single year.
Join a
Yep.
conference. Join a conference. Join the ACC where you are in all sports.
Yeah, I mean it makes sense due to that and that alone, but they would run the ACC still. It's like I don't know why they would be scared to join it.
Give me Georgia Tech this year.
So you don't think Notre Dame Clemson would battle it out? You think Notre Dame would just run them every year?
I mean, for the most part, I think they would battle it out for sure, but I mean, it still guarantees you a spot in the title game and basically guarantees you a spot in the playoffs. It'll be interesting to see how everything turns out, but I'm glad we were able to come to a conclusion that we all love the idea of rebuild or combining the Pac-10, Mountain West, 10 like just most similarly rated schools and basically taking over the West Coast of college football.
Oh, yeah. The criteria, the 10 most closely rated West Coast area teams that make sense for them to be a Pac-12 slash Pac-10 team. That's the criteria.
Yep. Gonna have Nevada, Boise State,
Colorado
Portland,
State,
Colorado
Colorado
State.
State.
Utah State.
Yeah.
Who else is, you could do Fresno State. Shout out Derek Carr and Devontae Adams.
Yeah, and then
Fresno State.
of course, like we said, the Washington State, Oregon State. I mean, that's like
Yeah.
seven schools right there. Cal and Stanford, boom, that's like nine, and then just need one more.
One of the coolest uniforms in college football, San Diego
UCLA.
State.
Ooh, I want to do them.
The Aztecs, dude. Dude,
Would people? We're gonna
they're
bring the Mayan calendar uniforms back on y'all boys. This one might be an iffy one. Would UCLA meet the criteria for this, or are they too good?
They're not like too good, like in a skill or an overall standpoint, but they have like so much more potential than all those other schools, I
Yeah,
think.
that's
Don't
true.
worry,
I wanted
guys.
to.
You'll have an unbiased, great commissioner who is willing to do all of this for you and just create all the conferences. I'll put everything back to where it was in like 2008 or 2012 and like build from that, or we can just kind of pick and choose however we want to
Oh,
do
yeah.
it.
I mean, we could build the whole league I mean, we could reshuffle the conferences to be what they're supposed to be anyway. And, I mean, there's so many. I mean, it's our sandbox. The world is our
Yes.
oyster in this college football 26.
Bring
Yep.
back the BCS.
No, I don't think you can do that.
No, I can't do
Nah,
that. You're gonna have
sadly
to,
you can't.
yeah, keep some kind of playoff, which is gonna be nice because, I mean, ideally, like three or four of our teams make the current CFP model. If we bring, see, we got that's why we got to bring that conference back up. Like, once
Zach,
that
we need our
conference
conference
gets
prestige to
power,
come up. We're going to need to
yes.
count on each other for
I
the
know.
prestige of the conference to come up while also battling against each other.
Battling against each other, and we're going to, like, the more prestige we go up, the more teams we're going to get in the CFP every single year. So, we
Before
found
we are
it.
running college
We found
football,
it. Let's go, dude. I'm so
SEC is
excited.
shivering.
I'm so excited for that. All right, I need to go pre-order this game.
Ohio State, watch out.
For
Watch
real,
out,
though.
Jeremiah Smith.
Oh, and
Watch it.
we can also make it like a what's it called? A requirement that you have to schedule at least one Big Ten slash SEC team like a year in terms
For
of like
your
your
two
conference.
out of conference games should be one from the Big Ten and one from the SEC. There we
Can't
go.
wait to play Mississippi State in Minnesota.
Oh,
Yeah, I know.
God. I'm not
Those
doing
first
that.
couple of years, I'll be picking Vanderbilt and Iowa.
Meanwhile, I'm going to Athens and the Shoe to play Georgia and Ohio State back to back because I love the pain.
All right, we'll see you in season two. Regardless, it's going to be great. We're going to make some great content out of it. Hopefully, we'll have a. I'll try and record an episode of me like building everything together, like all the conferences, all the settings, and all that good stuff.
Oh, I'm gonna make some cinematic like the Pac-12 was once great, but the powers that be dismantled it. Now, 10 guys banding together to battle each other, and I don't know, something like that. Dun, dun, dun,
And
dun.
the rest of the college football universe. Dun, dun, dun.
Led by Ashton Jeanty's corpse.
Oh yeah. Oh, and every logo pops up with like a deep voice like Boise State.
Dude, who's gonna
Utah
get Blue Field?
State.
I don't want to do Boise State
Fresno
just because
State.
of the Blue Field.
Oh, dude, and with the oh yeah, with the lighting in this game too, apparently dynamic lighting, there's gonna be like crazy shadows at certain points. So like if the sun's hitting your field at a certain angle, it's going, oh gosh, that blue field.
Simba. I have a feeling Vance is going to want to do Boise State.
Me
Yeah,
San Jose State.
or he's going to want to be one of, that's a good one too. He's going to want to be one of the smart schools like Cal or Stanford.
Yeah.
Like,
Christ.
oh, like the academic requirements.
Bro wants to be a tree so bad. Stanford.
Yeah, bro. Be all virtuous with your academic standards. We don't play school around here in UNLV. We're hitting the slot machines.
We play ball. We play ball. Dude, UNLV might be, they're probably going to be one of the better teams in that conference that we make. Because they got a, they have Dan Mullen, first of all, and a
Yep.
ton of transfers. But
Who's
we'll be, whoever takes over the team will obviously can Dan Mullen and hide themselves.
Get back in the booth,
Back to
buddy.
ESPN, fraud.
Back to work broadcast, boy.
Yeah, you can start calling our games broadcast.
Oh, dude, new rivalries too, like you don't even know.
San Diego State versus San Jose State, the surf off.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, that's gonna be great. I'm glad we did this. Is there
Give me
anything
Air
else?
Force. Give
Anything
me Air
else we need to
Force.
talk about?
No, now I'm gonna get off of this and pre-order this game immediately.
Yeah, I know, me too. I actually am though, I think.
Think you have to pre-order either like the deluxe or like the bundle that comes with like Madden or something to get the early access. Something I can't remember.
Well, because these deluxe packages, all it gives you is some extra MT or whatever it is for
Yeah,
ultimate,
like I
which I'm not touching that. I don't
don't
care.
care about that, at least not right away. This is definitely gonna be the first thing that I do
I
right
play
away.
Ultimate Team. I
Of course you do. I don't know what that was supposed to mean.
Damn.
Hey, it's okay, man.
Yeah, you
I
look
like.
like an ultimate team kind of guy.
Yeah, I do spend money on virtual currency.
How dare
Dude,
you?
I pulled a Baylor Bryce Petty.
Oh boy, my 99 Nate Frazier.
Oh,
That'd be W
okay,
though.
I'm gonna have to get on
I pulled the ultra rare Georgia black uniforms.
Ooh.
One
Yeah,
in a million pull.
those don't exist. Dude, the white ones that we wear for our recruiting photos, the
Word,
white
dude.
helmets.
I'm
So
very curious how those would look on field. Because I think individually they look very good, but if you get just like a group of just white helmets and all those together, I wonder like what that would look like. I mean, it'll never happen, but it'd be sick.
all black Georgia jerseys. One of one. That can be it.
think that's it, dude. I mean, we have talked about a good bit, and I think we're all on the same page of what we need to do moving forward.
Absolutely. All right, that's going to do it for episode 23 of the Gridiron Pulse. Be sure to like, comment, subscribe, repost us on social media. I'll see you guys next week. Peace.